Again, I want to thank you as always for coming this morning and being a part of these services. And I hope that today the Lord will bless you in a mighty way for taking your time to be here. And I believe today, as I always like to say, you'll be blessed that you got up and came to church today, because the Lord, like I said, He speaks to us in various ways, through various forms, and maybe even the things we see or read. And I do a lot of reading, and that's where I think a lot of my inspiration comes from, is from reading. And I can read a book, and I can feel that the Lord is speaking to me from that reading. So today is no different. So the first thing I want to tell you this morning is the title of this message this morning is Freed to be Fruitful. I told Frida last Sunday, I already knew what we were going to probably share this morning. And we were going to be talking about being fruitful. And we were going to be talking about Christ came to set us free. You know, the word of the Lord says, if you are free, what does it say? If you are free, you are free indeed. And the reason why you can, and that's not just, and I can get excited just by saying that. Man, I feel a little bit of electricity running through my veins right now just saying that. If you are free, you are free indeed. And that means, what it means to me is that you are free completely. Not just some or a little bit, but when Christ came into your life, when He died on the cross that day for the remission of sin, all sins, He came in to free you and me completely. And so that one day we could accept Him as our Savior and our Lord and have forgiveness of our sins and be cleansed and purified in the blood of Christ. And then, as that took place, we began to be fruitful in the Lord. And you know, I keep thinking about this. I keep remembering back when I'd have people say, why am I alive? What is my purpose here on earth? Do you know today, church family, that over in the book of Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, do you know today that the Lord has a divine purpose for you being here? Do you believe that today? You and I, as we are sitting here today in the house of God, have a divine purpose for being alive. And what is that purpose? And according to the Word of God that Paul writes in Ephesians, he says that things were recreated beforehand. In other words, God had a divine appointment, a divine time for us to be alive today. And it also goes on to say that we are the workmanship created by God's own hand. Now that tells me something this morning about God. That tells me something very special, something about God this morning. That's how much He thinks of you and me, is that we are very special to God. We are God's workmanship. He took me as good looking as I am. I always have to throw a joke in there, don't I? And He crafted, He created, and He shaped, and He formed. Aren't you glad? You know, I kind of think about this. Aren't you glad there's only one of me? Amen. Wow. There's only one. I'm the only one God created like this right here. You are the only one like your kind. Nobody in here this morning has the same thumbprint. I bet I've heard Brother Dudley Brock say that 1,000,000,000,000 times. But he's right. He's telling the truth when he says that God, when God created you and me, He created each one of us different, unique. No one in here this morning has the same thumbprint. If my phone were to shut off right now, you couldn't unlock my phone. Because you know why? Because I got a thumbprint on it. And the only one that can unlock my phone is me, by placing my thumb on that button. And then it unlocks. That's how unique you are in the sight of God this morning. Aren't you glad to know that this morning? That God thought enough of you and me this morning to create you with uniqueness. Special. Very special individual. That's how much God loves you this morning. And I think, man, praise God this morning that He sat down and thought about how He was going to create me. How He was going to work and shape me. But why did He do that? Because God had a divine purpose for my life. Amen? Can you say amen to that this morning, church family? God had a divine purpose for your life today. And what is that divine purpose? So that you and I, man, I'm excited about this. So that you and I could go out and be fruitful and do works, good works, and walk in those works. Listen, you know, I said this morning, when you blend, you bland. When you blend in with everybody else, you just become bland. I don't want to blend in with you. I love you, but I don't want to blend in with anybody. I read something very fascinating this week. You're going to like what I'm about to tell you. I always pick up good things in books that I read, religious, but I don't read just any books. I don't just pick up any book and read. But Pam bought me a book for my birthday. It was laying on the table one morning when I got up to go to work. So I started reading it. Now, you're going to like what I'm about to share with you. Anybody ever heard of the poppy syndrome? Anybody ever heard of that? I thought this was very fascinating what I'm about to share with you. Over in Australia, their culture, and it's in other parts of the world too, but especially over in Australia, they have something called the poppy syndrome. Do you know what a poppy is? It's a flower. It's a big, tall flower. It grows to be very tall. But over in Australia, if you step out and you try to rise above somebody else, they classify you as having the poppy syndrome. And that kind of syndrome, that if you get labeled, see, the world likes to label you. The world wants to put tags on you. The world tries to tell you what you are, or whose you are, or what you can do or what you can't do. But over in, and you know, it's not just in Australia, it's all over the world. We got labels we want to put on people that, you know what God really wants us to do? God wants us to rise up. He wants us to shine. He don't want us just to sit back and be still. It's okay to have the poppy syndrome for God because you're serving a mighty God. You're serving an awesome God. You're serving the all-powerful, all-knowing, all-seeing God. And He wants you to rise up. He wants you to be fruitful for Him. You're freed to be fruitful in the Lord. You're not freed to be fruitful just to sit back and just say, you know what? Let somebody else do it. Let somebody else preach. Let somebody else go to the nursing homes. Let somebody else go to the funeral homes. You are created by God's own hand to be His workmanship, to walk in and do good works. And that's why you're alive today. There's no guessing. There's no trying to figure it out. That's what God's Word tells us, that we are alive to do good works unto, not ourselves, but unto the Lord. And when you do good works unto the Lord, God gets the glory. I don't want the glory this morning. You know, I like hearing y'all. When I leave the church every Sunday, I said, preach, that was a good word. And I see I look on Facebook, and I see where 50 people watch the video or watch the sermon. Man, I thought, man, that's good. I get that old poppy syndrome. I'd like to rise way up there like, man, look at me, look what I'm doing. I'm not doing anything. I'm. You know who's doing it? The Lord's doing it. The Lord's doing it through me. He said, you know what, Phil? As long as you devote yourself to me, as long as you walk in my ways, As long as you listen to me, as long as you don't look around at everybody else, what they're doing, maybe I need to do this over here. Or maybe that person's right. Maybe I ought to just do what they're doing. But that's what the Israelites did. They looked, you know what their biggest problem was? They spent too much time looking around. They spent too much time worrying about what everybody else was doing. God says, as long as you're committed unto me and walk in my ways, I'll bless you and your people. But listen, God doesn't want us just to blend in. He wants us to be unique. He wants us to stand above everybody else and to do His work. And that's the only reason we stand out, we stand up, we stand out, we rise above. You know, there's only one person I'm following today. I don't know who you're following. I don't, you know, on Facebook, I see this person following that person. Oh, 500 people are following this person. 1,000 people are following that person. I think they're following that person? For what reason? Reckon how many people's following Justin Bieber this morning? Well, I'll get some bad comments on this after a while. Thousands of people, probably millions of people are following Justin Bieber. Why? You know one person that ain't following Justin Bieber this morning? He's your pastor. I pray for him, but I ain't following him. There's only one person I follow, and his name is Jesus Christ. Amen? That's the only one I'm following. Because you know what? You can't go wrong. You can't go wrong when you follow Jesus Christ. Amen? You can't go wrong. You're not going to go wrong. Because He's going to do a good work in your life if you're following. If you're walking in the footsteps of the Lord, He's going to do a good work in your life. He's going to make sure of it. All right, we're moving on now. Is this good so far? All right, listen. I mean, I got a lot more to share with you this morning. I got a lot more to share with you this morning. Now, this is a great story. You're going to like this. You don't have to turn there, but I'm just going to kind of speed through it because I got a lot to share with you this morning. But you can write down the scriptures and read them for yourself later on. Now, getting back to the poppy story thing, the poppy syndrome thing. Over in 1 Samuel chapter 17, 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 26 through 29. Now, let me tell you what that's about. David, y'all remember David, the boy David, not the king. I'm talking about the boy David. You know, there was a giant, that old Philistine, old giant named Goliath. And all of Saul's army, all of his men, was afraid of him. That uncircumcised Philistine. And every soldier that Saul sent up against him would end up dying. And they were terrified of him. But little boy David, the little shepherd, I guess he was a young man, I don't know what age he was. But he goes down there to take some food to his brothers. And then he starts hearing old King Saul talk about what he would do or what he would give to the man that would defeat old Goliath. But you know what happened while he was down there? His oldest brother heard him asking questions and got angry. The Word of God says he was furious because he heard his brother David, his little brother David, asking about what Saul said he would do unto the guy or the person that would go up against Goliath and slay him. Say, old David, he had that poppy syndrome. But his oldest brother was trying to put him back in his place. So David said, what? Can I not just ask a question? He said, I'm just asking, what will the king do? Did I hear him right? Did I hear the king Saul say, I'll give this man this, this, and this? But you know the story happened. It goes on to say that old David went to Saul. They brought him to Saul, brought him to the king. And he said, I'll go up against him. He said, I'll go down there. He said, I'll go down there and defeat that giant. I will slay him. He said, you're just a young man. You're not big enough. You're not experienced enough. And see, that's how the world operates today. You can't do that. You're not experienced enough. They're going to laugh at you. They're going to make fun of you. They're going to label you. Just sit down and be quiet. Don't stand up for the Lord because you're not going to succeed. That's what a lot of people thought about me too. They said, Phil, you ain't going to, man, that's a long road. But you know what Saul told him? He said, you know what? David told Saul, he said, you know what? I've wrestled bears. I have wrestled with lions, and I have killed them with my bare hands with the Lord's help. He said, this giant, he ain't no different. He's just like a bear, and he's just one of them lions that snatched one of my sheep, and I went out to get it and rescue it. And so Saul said, you know what? Be it as you say. So they put all that armor on him, and he said, you know what? I can't wear this stuff. I'm not used to it. So it says in the Word of God that he took all that stuff off, went down to the stream and got 5 smooth stones, put it in his pouch with his sling and went on out there and faced the giant. And guess what happened? He defeated him. He defeated that giant in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, praise God. So he didn't doubt. He didn't doubt that he couldn't go up against that giant and slay him. And you know, like the poppy syndrome, he said, now look who's talking. Look what has been done. I went down there and just slayed that old giant, and now he's dead. What else you got to say? Is that not a good word to you this morning, church family? That tells me something this morning about God. If God's on your side, who can be against you? You know what? The enemy wants to say, you know what? You're going to fall. You're going to die. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to defeat you. I'm going to make ridicule you. I'm going to do everything I can to prove that your God ain't real. But you know what? Like David says, hey, when you have the faith that can move mountains, there's nothing that can come up against you that you can't get past. There's nothing that's going to come up against you that's going to defeat you. You're going to come out. You're going to be prosperous. You're going to come out victorious. And the Lord, you're going to give God the glory for it. You may not know it right now, but you're going to give God the glory for it. You may not know what's going on right now, but you're going to give God the glory for it. We don't walk by faith, by sight, but we walk by faith. We don't walk by what we see or how we feel or what we know. We walk by faith in God. And God says this. Now listen, now let me get to my next point here. You're going to like this morning. If you don't like anything I've already said, you're going to like this morning. You know, when we talk about faith, we talk about faith that God, in the Word of God, it says that God gives everyone the measure of faith. But you know what? The funny thing about faith is we only think about God when we talk about faith. We only think about faith in God. But we don't look at ourselves having faith in ourselves. Do you look through the eyes of your faith when you look in the mirror? You say, man, I don't know what my life's going to be tomorrow. I'm going to fall down on my face tomorrow. But listen, we always talk about faith. When I talk about faith in God, I'm not just talking about faith in God. I've got faith in God, but you got to have faith in yourself. Amen. When we prayed a little while ago, I've got faith in God. I believe God can move mountains, but you also got to believe. You got to speak to those mountains. You got to believe in faith. You got to take the measure of faith that God's placed in your heart and your spirit and your mind and your being, and you've got to walk by the faith that God's given you. You got to see you've got faith in yourself. And that's why I think a lot of Christians fail. I think that's why a lot of Christians are faltering and laying by the wayside, because they may have faith in God. They see God as an almighty God, but they don't see themselves as nothing. Is that not unreal or what? That just amazes me. I've got faith this morning. You say, well, I got faith. But then why aren't you moving mountains? And you know what? Here's another thing you might want to think about today. Are you ready for this? Are you ready for it? You know, if you have faith in God today, and you say, God is my creator, it says he's the one that I'm his workmanship, so that I can go out and do good works and walk in them. We're not only just to live a moral and sound life, but the good works that we do, We're supposed to go out and walk in them. Man, we are the leaders. We are the leaders of God. God is leading through us. Does that make any sense this morning? We are the chosen leaders of God. But if we belong to God, now think about this. If we belong to God and we say our faith and trust and love is in the Lord, right? Then why are we letting the world tell us who we are? You ever thought about that? Why are we letting the world tell us who we are? We already know who we are. Do you know who you are this morning? Church family, do you know who you are? You're a child of God. You don't need the world telling you who you are. You already know who you are. You already know whose you are. You know who you belong to this morning. You don't belong to this world. The Word of God says you are a foreigner in this world. You are an alien in this world. Just passing through. That's all we're doing. Those people that don't know the Lord, they're not just passing through this world. They are of the world. We are not of the world today. We belong to God's hand. We are in the palm of God's hand, and no man can pluck you out of the hand of God. So we don't need the world telling us who we are. We don't need the world telling us to sit down and be quiet. We need to tell the world to take a step back. We need to rebuke those people out there that's trying to place labels on us, trying to place names on us. And we need to be standing up and telling them, hey, you know who I belong to? Do you know who you're bothering? Do you know who you're messing with? You're messing with a child of God. And that's not too good for you. Now, if you want to jump on board, I'll definitely help you do that. But you don't need to be causing trouble for the children of God. Amen? Because we belong to somebody very special. Now, I got one more thing. If you can stand just a little bit more. One more thing I want to share with you real quick, and I think you'll find this very fascinating. So like I said, I've been doing a lot of reading this week, and there's three men I want to mention to you before we close this morning. Three men, and you can find them. These men right here were brought into captivity by the Babylonians. Got a clue? Anybody got a clue to who they are? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But you know what's so fascinating about those three men? The names. That's not their real names. That's the names that the Babylonians gave them. Do you know what their real names are? You'll find this fascinating. So their real names, let me just tell you what their real names are. And I did some very good research on this week. Let me find it here in my notes. I got it wrote down somewhere. Yes, right here. Now, you're going to like this. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's the names that the Babylonians gave these men when they were brought into captivity. But their real names. I want to tell you what their real names are. Hananiah, which means God has favored. Mishael, who is like God. That's what that name means. And Azariah, who God has helped. Now let me ask you this question in closing this morning. Why did the Babylonians change these men's names? You ever thought about that? I can tell you exactly why. They wanted to get rid of their identity. They served the all-living, mighty God. You know, once they got over there in captivity and they got brought in there, they were trying to suppress the identity of their God. They wanted them to be subjected to their gods. They wanted them to bow down and worship their gods. And listen, but you know the story. Those men would not conform. Those men would not be changed. Their view on God, their love for their God, their Father God, they would not bend. They would not bow down. And listen, if your identity this morning is in God, if you're a child of God, this morning you are connected to God. Your identity is not in the world, it's of God. That's your true identity this morning. You, Father God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. That's your identity. That's your connection this morning with the three parts of the Godhead. And nobody, no man, no thing, no person, no place, no world that you're living in today can ever break that, ever change that. And you know how the story ended for these three men. They were very blessed because they would not conform. See, once God comes in, there's a transformation that takes place. There's a renewness of heart, mind, body, soul, and spirit takes place. And it's the greatest transformation that you could possibly ever receive from God. Now listen, I want to close with this today. Don't let the world conform you. There may come a time, I don't know, I'm no fortune teller. I don't know the future. There may come a time when you have to decide who you're going to confess. The Lord that you love, or are you going to confess the world? There may come a time, I don't know. There may come a time for me. You know, ministers are hated people. They are. Ministers are a hated people. Too bad you don't have to work with one. A lot of times, you know, people don't want to listen to a minister. You know what he's going to be talking about? He ain't going to be talking about all this garbage and rubbish. If you talk to me, you're going to be talking about the Lord somewhere because it's in my mind, it's in my heart, it's in my veins. You know, if I come to your house, we might talk about other things, but sooner or later, we're going to be talking about something else. We're going to be talking about God. You ever met a minister that don't talk about God? You better get away from him. Because he probably ain't a real sheep of the flock. They are wolves in sheep's clothing out there. Keep that in mind. So today, thank you for coming. And I'm going to pray. Maybe you're watching today on Facebook. Maybe you're here today. You don't know the Lord. I always like to give an invitation. But we're about to pray. And then we're going to have special prayer or special invitation here at the church. And then we're going to close out. Let's bow together. Heavenly Father, most gracious God, Lord, once again, you just astound me with your awesomeness. And I know, Lord, that I am truly blessed to be able to stand here today. I'm very humbled in my heart today, Heavenly Father, that you would use someone like me, Lord, to promote the gospel. But Lord, I pray that hearts and lives are being touched and changed, not for my glory, Lord, but for yours. I pray, Lord, that people are being touched. I pray people that are watching these messages week after week, God, I pray they're taking them out, sharing them with other people, Heavenly Father. And God, there's still room at the foot of the cross. I believe that today, Lord. There's still room at the foot of the cross for one more lost soul. And Lord, that's what it's all about. It's not about preaching a good message. It's not about singing great and wonderful, beautiful sounding songs. It's about saving the lost, Heavenly Father. So God, if we're doing that, Lord, help us to continue to walk in the fruits of the Spirit. And Lord, help us to produce that fruit, God, through good works. And Lord, help us to walk in those good works, God. And Lord, let us step back and let you do the work through us, Heavenly Father. Lord, let us rise above everyone else. And Lord, set us apart to do your work, God. And God, we thank you this morning for those that are watching on Facebook today, Lord. We pray if there be one watching under the sound of our voice, if they've not made the decision to accept Jesus Christ, Lord, today would be a perfect day to come to know the Lord. And Lord, what a new life it will be. What a great and wonderful new life, new journey it will be. And Lord, you will open doors that's never been opened before. God, they'll be doing things that they never thought they would do. And Lord, you'll take them to heights they thought they'd never possibly reach, Heavenly Father. God, I know this morning with you, things are unlimited, Heavenly Father. And God, you want to give it all to us this morning. You already have through your Son, Jesus Christ. So God, now we pray that everything we've done and said in your house today, Lord, to be glorified and lift up your holy name. Your Lord, your word says if you be lifted up, you draw all men unto you, Heavenly Father. And God, we just praise you for that today in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Guys, you don't think I'm excited about the Lord? Hey, I'm this way every Sunday. So if this is what you're looking for, you're in the right place. We need to be excited about the Lord. And today, I don't know your heart. You know, they think, I don't know if people think this altar is a scary place. It's not a scary place. This is a wonderful place. This is where you come, right here. You know, the Holy Spirit's already here. You brought Him with you this morning, whether you realize it or not. A lot of people think, well, I can meet God if I come to the altar. You know why you come to the altar? Humbleness. Obedience. You know how many times I've sit in a church sitting and I've heard the preacher preach just like this morning. And the Holy Spirit would weigh on my being so hard and say, Philip, get up and come to the altar. But you know what I would do? You already know what I'd do. I'd sit there. And man, I'd want it so bad to get up out of my pew and come to the altar and kneel down and have somebody to pray for me. I never would. And then I'd leave the church feeling bad. And I tell old Brother Dudley, many services. I was going to come to the altar last Sunday, but I just couldn't get up and come. He said, well, you missed a blessing. You missed an opportunity to be humble before the Lord. You missed an opportunity to be obedient unto the calling of God's voice. And that's what you do when you stay in your seats. Now, this is not a plea for you to come to the altar. But if the Lord is weighing on your heart, and you refuse to come to the altar to pray for whatever need you have, that's between you and the Lord. But obedience is hard. Humility is hard. But when you take that first step, who cares who's sitting beside you? You know what? Who cares what they think? Oh, that guy must have done something. Oh, Philip, he must have sinned last week or last night. That's why he's at the altar kneeling down to pray. Who cares what they think? You're not coming for them. You're coming for yourself. And that's what's most important. That shows God your true heart. All right, now enough preaching. All right, listen. If you need prayer in any way this morning, listen, I want to pray with you. The Lord wants to meet you right here in this altar. Come as you will.